There is the young man, still unbeaten, Sugar Ray Leonard. So fleet of hands, so fleet of feet. And, of course, he is but 23 years of age, comes from Palmer Park, Maryland. He is ranked number 2 by the WBC. And his opponent, now look at him closely, Andy Price from Los Angeles. See that beard? You wouldn't see a man in the ring in any other jurisdiction, I do not think, in this country, with a beard. Angelo Dundee created a storm about it today, but was overruled. The beard was only clipped down. The Nevada State Boxing Commission rules do not bar facial hair like that. However, as a result of the protest today, facial hair will be barred in the future. Now, right now, Chuck Pollard, the ringside announcer, introducing the fight.
Ladies and gentlemen, the officials assigned by the Nevada State Athletic Commission for the next bout. The judges are Dolby Shirley, Joe Swessel, and Charles Minker. The referee is Harry Krause. A feature attraction of the afternoon, 12 rounds of boxing for the North American Boxing Federation Welterweight Championship. Introducing, in the red corner, fighting out of Los Angeles, California, a veteran of 43 professional fights, Andy Hawk Price. And in the blue corner, undefeated in 24 professional bouts, the North American Boxing Federation welterweight champion, fighting out of Palmer Park, Maryland, at 146 pounds, Sugar Ray Leonard.
Welcome, everybody, to the latest edition of the Hitman Chronicles, where today we are talking part 3 of the life and times of Sugar Ray Leonard. We are taking a look at his September 28th fight against Andy the Hawk Price, September 28th, 1979. Ladies and gentlemen, they fought in Las Vegas, and in this fight, Sugar Ray Leonard had already signed to face Wilfred Benitez in the fall. We're in the fall of 1979, but he had already signed to fight Wilfred Benitez in November of 1979 for $1 million. And so he was taking on a dangerous fighter in Andy Price. And Sugar Ray Leonard mentioned in his autobiography, he knew it was a dangerous fight, but he couldn't pass up Don King's offer of $300,000 for this one fight. Like I mentioned before, throughout the entirety of this series, this is part 3, Sugar Ray Leonard was a free agent from the moment he signed to become a professional boxer with Mike Trainer and Angelo Dundee in late 1976, the fall of 76. Mike Trainer advised him, Angelo Dundee advised him to stay a free agent. Do not sign any promotional deals with any promoters because Sugar Ray Leonard's popularity will guarantee, as long as he continues to win and impress, would guarantee that he'd be the A-side in whatever fight he fought, and that his talent, charisma, and overall popularity would be his promoter. And that's what he did. He fought for Don King on September 28th, 1979. It was a one-and-done deal. Don King tried to get him to sign a multi-fight deal, and Leonard and Mike Trainer and Angelo Dundee all laughed in Don King's face and said, look, we'll go fight somebody else that night or some other time. We don't need to fight on your card. And Don King was like, okay, brothers, all right. So Sugar Ray Leonard got $300,000 to face Andy Price. Now, let's talk about Andy Price. Andy Price, up until this point in his career, had bad luck. Very talented boxer from South Central Los Angeles. He had defeated both Carlos Palomino and Pepino Cuevas before they became world champions. He defeated two future Hall of Famers while rising up in the ranks of the welterweight division. The first piece of bad luck that happened in his career. On June 2nd, 1976, he thoroughly outboxed and defeated an 18-year-old Pepino Cuevas. The WBA champion at the time was the Puerto Rican Angel Espada. Now, ladies and gentlemen, how was it that right after Price defeated Pepino Cuevas, that Cuevas got a shot at Espada instead of Andy Price? It made no sense. Well, at the time, I was 8 years old and I hadn't started watching boxing. I wouldn't start watching boxing until January of 1977. But while getting ready to watch this fight between Andy Price and Sugar Ray Leonard, my father had told me that Andy Price had beaten Carlos Palomino back in 1974, that he had beaten Pepino Cuevas, but Angel Espada refused to fight Andy Price, instead gave Cuevas the title shot, and Cuevas, on July 17th, 1976, knocked out and destroyed Angel Espada in the second round. 13 days later, on July 30th, 1976, Andy Price, for peanuts, instead of fighting Angel Espada, fought a fighter named Jose Baquedano, and Jose Baquedano defeated Andy Price, battered Andy Price. They stopped the fight in the sixth round, and then Price would lose 3 months later to Julio Gomez. In June of 1977, he would lose and get thoroughly outclevered and outmaneuvered by Harold Weston. And then in September of 1977, he would lose to former, I believe he was a former British and European, he might have been the British and European welterweight champion of the time, Davey Boy Green. And we'll be talking about Davey Boy Green in a future Sugar Ray Leonard episode. After that loss, the career of Andy Price looked all but done. At that point in time, he was 25. He had 25 wins, 5 losses, and 3 draws. Then he meets the legendary Marvin Gaye. Marvin Gaye decides that he wants to make a foray into boxing. Now, in 1978, Marvin Gaye's career was spiraling, and his life was spiraling out of control. His wife, Jan, had filed for divorce. He was millions of dollars in debt. He owed the IRS millions of dollars. He was in a feud with the Motown CEO, Berry Gordy. And I talked about Berry Gordy a few weeks ago on the podcast when I talked about Berry Gordy's boxing career and the legendary trainer that taught him how to fight. If you guys want to hear more about Berry Gordy's boxing career, go back to the archives. The title of the episode is the story of Berry Gordy's boxing career. Even in 1978, I just remembered, also in 1978, Marvin Gaye engaged in an exhibition fight with Muhammad Ali. Now, in 1978, Muhammad Ali was not the same fighter. You know, he was on fumes. And Marvin's ex-wife mentioned in her biography that Marvin told Janice, "I'm going to go in there. I'm going to go in there, and I'm going, you know, Jan, I'm going to go in there, and I'm going to show Ali I'm a real fighter, and I'm going to kick his ass." Seconds into the exhibition fight, Ali, who with these exhibition fights would like to play around, when he saw that Marvin was trying to actually beat him, Ali dropped him early on in the first round. Ali held him up, and carried him the rest of the way, but Marvin, even against a depleted Muhammad Ali, he was no boxer. Marvin Gaye, I remember in early 1970, was it Mel Farr, Marvin Gaye's close friend, got him a tryout with the Detroit Lions. Marvin Gaye was delusional, thinking that he was a great athlete. No, Marvin. I don't know how many drugs Marvin was taking at the time, and according to, and I've done 3 episodes on his career on another podcast I do, The Legends of Sports and Music. You guys can check that out. And I talked about this time period in part 3, I believe, the Hear My Dear tribute podcast I did on Marvin Gaye's career. But Marvin had delusions of grandeur, and I think it might have been the cocaine and alcohol speaking, the freebasing that he began to do around this time. Anyway, the guy who helped him train for the exhibition fight was Andy the Hawk Price. That's when he met Andy Hawk, and he became Andy Hawk's manager. Andy Hawk would win 4 consecutive, well, actually 3 consecutive fights. Andy Hawk had won a fight after his last loss, and then under Gaye's management, won 3 consecutive fights against lower level competition, but it got him the fight with Don King and Sugar Ray Leonard. Going into that fight, Marvin Gaye actually thought, and you know what? He's the manager. He's the manager of Andy Price. So you got to think your guy has a shot. And Andy Price was, like my father said, going into that fight, a dangerous opponent for Sugar Ray Leonard to fight, considering that he had lined up already a title shot against the WBC welterweight champion, Wilfred Benitez. Leonard was taking a risk, a huge risk, my father thought. Now, my father didn't think Andy Price was going to beat Sugar Ray Leonard, but my father said less fighters of Andy Price's ability have beaten fighters with Sugar Ray Leonard's type of ability in the past, and anything could happen in boxing. And Andy Price did beat Carlos Palomino and Pepito Cuevas earlier in his career. So he had 2 wins against future Hall of Fame fighters. And at that point in time, Pepito Cuevas was still the WBA champion, and Palomino had just lost his WBC title to Wilfred Benitez. Going into the fight against Andy Price, Sugar Ray Leonard was the number 2 ranked contender for the WBC title. The number 1 ranked contender was Roberto Duran. The winner of Benitez versus Sugar Ray Leonard was going to have to face Roberto Duran within the next 6 months after that fight, because that would have been either man's mandatory title defense. Sugar Ray Leonard had no problem with that because he knew that at that point in time, while Benitez was a $1 million fight, Roberto Duran was a $5 million or more plus fight, because at that point in time, most people considered the 2 best fighters in the world being number 1, Roberto Duran, and even though he wasn't champion yet, number 2, Sugar Ray Leonard. But in order to fight Benitez, in order to fight Duran, because ladies and gentlemen, if he loses to Andy Price, that fight with Wilfred Benitez is no longer on the table. Benitez can't fight Sugar Ray Leonard because Sugar Ray Leonard is no longer number 2 contender. He's going to drop down in the rankings. He probably would have to fight Andy Price. And that's what Marvin Gaye was betting the mortgage on. Marvin Gaye was betting his entire mortgage. He was betting his entire... Now, I'm not saying that he actually put money on the fight. No. But he needed a boost in his career. He needed a financial boost. And he thought Andy Price, on September 28th, 1979, was the man to turn Marvin Gaye's fortunes around. Sugar Ray Leonard, in his autobiography, mentioned that he never heard of Andy Price before. But what Sugar Ray Leonard would do was he would try and get footage of the guys he was to face. And he couldn't find any footage of Andy Price. So all he could do was try and base what Andy Price could do in the ring when the fight started. He didn't know anything about Andy Price until the night before the fight. He went to a Diana Ross concert in Vegas, and then he was partying with Diana Ross after the concert was over, and Diana introduced him to Marvin Gaye. And then Diana was like, you know, you're fighting his fighter tomorrow night. Andy Price is Marvin's fighter. Marvin is Andy Price's manager. And Sugar Ray Leonard was like, what? He didn't know until the night before the fight that Marvin Gaye was Andy Price's manager. And he was like, wow. And so Sugar Ray Leonard was like, oh, good. I get to beat one of my idols. Now, ladies and gentlemen, Sugar Ray Leonard's from the DMV area. He's from Palmer Park, Maryland, right? Marvin Gaye, the greatest artist ever to come out of Washington, D.C., period. So you're talking about a man that his parents grew up idolizing and that a man that Sugar Ray Leonard grew up idolizing. Well, his parents didn't grow up idolizing Marvin Gaye. Let me backtrack, because his parents were from Marvin Gaye's generation. His parents, in their young adulthood, were huge fans of Marvin Gaye. Sugar Ray Leonard grew up idolizing Marvin Gaye because Marvin Gaye's from his area, from his geographic area, and Sugar Ray Leonard was a huge fan of soul music. So now Sugar Ray Leonard got even more motivation to go in there and shine. On the night of September 28th, 1979. So, ladies and gentlemen, we go to the customary play-by-play that I do of each and every fight on these tributes to the legends. The 10-part series of Muhammad Ali. I recreated every single fight in those 10 episodes. Marvelous Marvin Hagler. The 10 fights I covered in his career. I recreated the play-by-plays. Same thing with Thomas Hitman Hearns. Well, now we're going to go back in time to September 28th, 1979. And ladies and gentlemen, I will give you the link to the podcast. What I want you guys to do is I want you guys to mute your devices. I'm not sure if my device is muted. You might hear it because I'm clicking on the... Okay, let me mute the device. All right, ladies and gentlemen, on your smartphones, on your tablets, on your MacBooks, on your iMacs, on your Google Chrome, on your Chromebooks, on your smart TVs, go to the YouTube app. Type in, oh my God, I let this fight continue. I've got to give y'all guys the timestamp. Let me back up for a second. All right. Let me back up for a second and pause it. All right. All right, go to your YouTube app. Type in Sugar Ray Leonard versus Andy Price in the search engine in YouTube. Mute your devices. The YouTube channel that has this fight, the best version of this fight, is called Planet Boxing. You're going to see that as one of the choices. Click onto the Planet Boxing link to the Sugar Ray Leonard versus Andy Price fight. Okay, mute your devices, and I'm about to give you a countdown. Also, if we got people watching on the people listening on their iPhones and their tablets, MacBooks, iMacs, Chromebooks, whatever, the link will be in the description of this podcast. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I'm about to begin the countdown. Sugar Ray Leonard versus Andy Price. Sugar Ray Leonard, since the last podcast, part two, in which he defeated Marcos Geraldo in a great, unexpected war. I've gotten great compliments about that last episode. He won two consecutive fights, battering Tony Chiaverini and Pete Ranzani, stopping them both in the fourth round. Secured a title shot against Wilfred Benitez. But because Don King offered him $300,000 to fight on primetime ABC Friday night, this was the fight before Marvelous Marvin Hagler. I mean, not Marvelous Marvin Hagler. Maybe backtrack. Larry Holmes defended his title against Ernie Shavers in a fight that I will cover when I eventually do the Larry Holmes Life and Times 10-part series. This was the semifinal to that fight. I'm going to begin the countdown, and when I say hit play, here we go. Clear my throat. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, hit play. There we go. You see Sugar Ray Leonard's record, 24 wins, no losses, 15 knockouts. Angelo Dundee and Mike Trainer did a magnificent job building him up for a title shot. But will this be the fight that negates all that buildup as we get ready for round one as both men go back to their corner? Andy Price, managed by the legendary Marvin Gaye. Here we go, round one. As you can see, Andy Price. Everything with Andy Price is going to be off that nice jab. Andy Price had a nice left jab. Nice stiff jab. Sugar Ray Leonard has begun all these fights on this series with jabbing to the body. That's a nice staff jab. Oh, jab to the body by Andy Price. But Sugar Ray Leonard was a phenomenal did a phenomenal job jabbing to the body. Oh, both of them landing nice jab. Nice stiff jab there by Sugar Ray Leonard. Ray, like he said, was going to study Andy Price in the first round, and that's what he's doing. A great fighter, if he cannot find footage of the fighter he's fighting, is going to study your movements. Oh, nice stiff jab by Andy Price there. Backed up Sugar Ray Leonard for a minute. Right cross over the top by Andy Price. Oh, my father was right. This could be a dangerous fight as we watch this on a Friday night on prime time on ABC. And my father was like, Sugar Ray's got to be careful. Sugar Ray's the better fighter, but anything can happen when you're fighting a hungry fighter. And both men continue to utilize... Oh, nice stiff jab by Sugar Ray Leonard right there. That's the key to this fight. Who has the better? Another stiff jab by Sugar Ray Leonard. Double jab by Andy Price. Sugar Ray Leonard short with his jab. Sugar Ray Leonard utilizing that jab beautifully. Oh, nice right cross, but he missed with the left hook by Sugar Ray Leonard. Another stiff jab by Sugar Ray Leonard. Stiff jab. Sugar Ray Leonard controlling the action with his jab. Stiff jab again by Sugar Ray Leonard. Andy Price has no shot if he cannot utilize his own jab. He's letting Sugar Ray Leonard control the action with Sugar Ray's potent left jab. Another jab landed there by Sugar Ray Leonard. Andy Price is trying, but right now, Sugar Ray Leonard's the quicker fighter, and he's got the quicker jab. Double jab there by Sugar Ray Leonard. Sugar Ray Leonard, everything off that jab. He's fighting another stiff jab there. Sugar Ray Leonard, nice three-punch combination there by Sugar Ray Leonard. Andy Price missed with a wild right cross there. Oh, beautiful three-punch combination. Andy Price is in trouble. Right cross, left hook by Sugar Ray Leonard. Price is in deep trouble. Right to the body by Sugar Ray Leonard. Both men landed jabs there. Price got to get off the roll. Oh, beautiful left hook by Sugar Ray Leonard. Three-punch coming. Oh, Andy Price is out on his feet. Stop the fight. Stop the fight. Down he goes. Down he goes. Oh, that was like an 8-9-punch combination. Andy Price is not going to be able to get up. This fight is over. This fight is over. Oh, a spectacular first round knockout for Sugar Ray Leonard. All right, ladies and gentlemen, you can stop the fight there. I will talk about the aftermath in a moment. Hold on 1 second. After the fight ended, Andy Price had to be helped back to the dressing room with his training staff, with his training team. When he got back to the dressing room, Marvin Gaye was sitting there waiting for him, bawling in tears. Marvin Gaye was going through hell in his life. A lot of it self-inflicted, ladies and gentlemen. He was a massive drug addict. A few weeks before the fight, Marvin Gaye had tried to take his family with him. Janice had left him for Teddy Pendergrass. I'll talk more about that when I do my Marvin Gaye Part 4 tribute podcast on my Legends and Sports and Music podcast. It will be called Marvin Gaye, The Final Years. Anyway, because of the issue with his wife divorcing him, because of his IRS financial problems, because of Berry Gordy and Berry Gordy and Marvin's feud over his record deal at Motown Records, Marvin had put everything on this fight. He thought this was going to be the fight to turn all his luck around, because a win by Andy Price would have gotten Andy Price a big money fight versus Wilfred Benitez. And then maybe Marvin Gaye can manage other fighters, and maybe he could leave music behind and have a lucrative career in boxing. But ladies and gentlemen, when you're a slave to the pipe, when you're a slave to the powder, like Marvin Gaye was at that point in time, you do become delusional. Anyway, after he stopped crying in the locker room, he gave Andy Price a hug, and he went back out to sing the national anthem for the main event, Larry Holmes versus Ernie Shavers. And I remember, as I watched this fight with my mother and father that Friday night, September 28th, 1979, on a black and white television on ABC, when Marvin Gaye went out there to sing, my mother said, "He looks so sad." And my father's like, "Yeah, he's sad. His boy got beat. He probably did a couple of lines before he went out there." But my mother was like, "Look, Silver, stop it. Look at his eyes. He is sad." My mother could tell at that point in time that he was sad. Look, a few weeks before this fight had happened, I forgot to finish the story, he tried to kidnap his own family to bring them back to his house. And in the meantime, he threw Janice to the ground and he was hitting her when the police came and arrested him. And once he was out on bail, he went straight to Vegas to attend this fight and to be there for his fighter. After the fight was over in November, a couple of months later, he kidnapped his son Frankie, and you had an entire war between him and Janice over the custody of Frankie. Of course, he lost, because no court is going to award a drug-induced man on a second attempt tried to kidnap a member of his family or members of his family. No, I don't care how huge of a star you are, you're not getting your son. Marvin Gaye was living in Hawaii, and then he went to Europe. He went to Great Britain, and then he wound up living in exile in Europe for the next couple of years before, with the help of a European concert promoter, he was able to get out of his deal with Motown and sign with CBS. And that'll be a story for another day when I do my Marvin Gaye Part 4, The Final Years podcast on my Legends of Sports and Music podcast. But this was the final nail in the coffin for Marvin Gaye as far as being with Motown, as far as his relationship with his wife and his children, being a husband and a father, having a family all together. This was a final nail in the coffin when it came to him living in America for the time being. He lived in exile for a couple of years, and then, of course, when he came back, he had a triumphant comeback, a triumphant return, but that was short-lived, and you know how that ended. As far as Andy Price goes, he had 7 more fights after that destruction at the hands of Sugar Ray Leonard. He would win 5 of his last 7 fights before getting brutally knocked out in his final fight in 1983 and then retiring with a record of, what was his record? 34 wins, 8 losses, and 3 draws. He had 45 career fights altogether. Andy Price lives with his wife out in, still in Los Angeles, and he's suffering from Parkinson's disease. So prayers go out to Andy Price, another victim of the cruel world of boxing. as far as Sugar Ray Leonard goes. Well, before we end the podcast, we're going to play the post-fight interview Sugar Ray Leonard did with Howard Cosell. Sugar Ray! Sugar, you looked phenomenal tonight. Boy, did you look ravishing out there. Anyway, his next fight will be against Wilfred Benitez. November 30th, 1979. Once again, a prime time fight on a Friday night. But ladies and gentlemen, this time, the fight will be the main event of a primetime ABC card. Sugar Ray Leonard would get $1 million. Wilfred Benitez would get the highest payday of his career, $1.2 million. And that will be the subject of next week's episode, part four of The Life and Times of Sugar Ray Leonard. His November 30th, 1979 title fight against the Puerto Rican legend, Wilfred Benitez. Now, real quick, my prediction on Saturday night's fight. If you hear this after Saturday night, know I recorded this on Thursday morning, 2 days before the fight. My prediction on Sebastian Fedora versus Tim Tszyu for the WBO and WBC Super Welterweight Championships, I've got Tim Tszyu beating the fuck out of Sebastian Fedora, stopping him in the sixth round. And I'm pissed off at Tim Tszyu. I will talk about Tim Tszyu and his management team when I do the fight recap that will come out either Sunday morning or Sunday night or Monday, depending, because I'm working Saturday night. Hopefully I get home in time to see the fight live on my illegal Fire Stick. I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to record that and the rest of the card. And there's a lot of fights over the weekend before going to work Sunday. We will see. But the next podcast will be the total recap of Saturday's pay-per-view, the first Amazon pay-per-view, PBC from Vegas. And the main event, of course, is Tim Tszyu against Sebastian Fedora in a wicked mismatch. This is a brutal mismatch. A horrible main event for their first pay-per-view. We'll see how many numbers they do. If I were y'all, I'd find an illegal stream. Don't give any money to this nonsense of a mismatch. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, I am going to end this with the interview that Sugar Ray Leonard did with Howard Cosell after the fight. Until next time, when we talk Tim Tszyu versus Sebastian Fedora, I want everybody out there to continue to always be blessed and be a blessing.
He doesn't really know, though, what hit him. Dynamite action in the very beginning of this evening of boxing in prime time. And so much more to come. We'll be back. From Mummy, here is the winner. We're going to replay for you the first round in its entirety with Sugar Ray talking through it and explaining exactly what he did. Stunning 2 minutes, 52 seconds, first round knockout by Sugar Ray Leonard. Now let's draw upon it, don't you?
Sure, in fact, his first fight must paid off. In fact, I go to the body once in a while, and I know I had it here. It's just a matter of time. I think the left hook will really hurt him. Here, I think the referee should have stopped the fight.
What hand speed. Were you worried about him when he failed to get up? I saw him go over and look down.
Yes, I thought he was really very seriously injured because he was down and he was out.
Okay, just a tremendous performance. Of course, some will say, just wasn't the opponent. We're on camera now, Ray. But no matter who the opponent, so far you've been doing the job. You've also, and I must put this question to you. I heard you talking at the press conference 2 mornings ago. You talked about meeting Duran down the road, Roberto's fight to come up shortly. But there is a job to be done later in the fall against Benitez.
Well, first things first, Howard. I have to take care of Wilfredo Benitez. In fact, I'm motivated so highly. I like to say hello to the people back home at Palmer Park because you have really motivated me because I'm going to bring the title back to Washington, D.C.
And like you told me once before, don't get cocky.
No, don't get cocky. Where is Angelo?
Right here, sir.
Oh, here he is.
Dave Jacobs is here, too.
He's hello, JB. Good work. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Angie, we'll look right up there at the camera. I must say, you wise old man, you really had the fight plan.
I tell you, it's wise to be a wise guy because you got good guys working with like Dave Jacobs and Jenks Morton. We're a real team, really, and this is the name of the game. And we do our thing, we do our homework, and this guy produces for us.
But let me tell you, folks, Angelo Dundee studied films of Andy Price. He heard all the talk about Price as an opponent, and he made notes. And he showed me those notes before this fight took place today. And he said a number of things in those notes. One, Price maintains bad leg position. Is that right?
Well, Ray found that out right away, and when he kept that position, Ray took him out of there.
Pushed him maybe a little bit. A
little bit, but he did a lot of good things. See, Price was good, but I'll tell you, Sugar Ray is great.
Okay. That's the story then. Sugar Ray Leonard, first round knockout of...